To True Faith Podcast. I'm Norman Riley, and I'm here in London. Andy's in Newcastle. We're going to talk about last night's unfortunate 1-0 loss at home to Everton. And obviously we'll talk a little bit about the takeover as well. Hi Andy, that's what we'll get straight into, actually, the takeover. Yesterday it really kind of started on positive news. All your kind of national and regional media outlets saying that the deal was almost done. Most of them saying that it wouldn't actually happen until February, but this caveat that Ashley was going to invest some money during the window and then be giving it back when the takeover happened, which sounded a little bit odd to me, but what do I know about heavy levels of finance like that? And then this morning you wake up and there's a couple of headlines saying that the deal might be a sticking point because the PCP who are taking over are kind of worried about us being in a relegation battle. But so let's just say it's going to happen. Let's just say that Rafa's going to get this 30 million. The first question I'm going to have to ask you is, 30 million isn't much. It sounds like a lot, but it's not much in pre-season and it's not much especially during the January transfer window. If we have two or three positions that are urgent, what do you think Rafa should be looking at or will be looking at?
Well, we urgently need a striker. Urgently, and a number 10. Hosolu, Gail, I know Gail's scored a couple recently, but and Mitrovic just aren't up to it. Not one of them's good enough to be playing in the Premier League, and they're not going to score us the goals to get us out via a relegation battle. And then we need number 10 because we need some more service to the striker that we get, because we just haven't been getting chances to our strikers for the last few games. And so yeah, they're the two I would go for. We need a 10 and a striker urgently. Yeah, sound.
So for me, I think Gail, the last few games that I've seen him in, anyways, in the flesh, he's looked the part. I think he can score goals at this level, and his record at Palace isn't too bad. But I mean, you're right on the other two. We do need another striker, and we do need number 10. I mean, obviously 30 million. As I say, it's not a particularly large amount of money. I think that Rafa is going to have to utilise the loan market and maybe get one or two in on loan. And another position, I think, we're going to need to invest, I would say, is in the centre of the pitch, centre midfield, because obviously Shelby last night being sent off, we'll go into that a little bit later on, but Shelby last night being sent off is going to, I think it's going to have an impact, and it's obviously going to affect on the trust levels that Rafa has for him. It's a tough one. Ideally what you want is 60 million to be able to go out and get three or four players to really improve the squad. The argument is that if the money being given to him in pre-season, then we would have had those three or four players on board already. We mightn't be in this position that we are, kind of making do with what we have. In terms of the takeover itself, there was kind of whispers yesterday that the run of defeats might have actually sped up the sale, and now we've got these rumours that that it might be kind of making them a little bit more hesitant. What are your thoughts overall? I mean, are you feeling pretty positive about the takeover, or are you just kind of ambivalent?
So, yeah, I'm positive about it. If the rumours are true about how much money they're planning on ploughing into the club, I mean, it was reported back in October, I think, wasn't it, that they're talking about doing something similar to what happened at Man City, so... If that's the outcome, then obviously this is absolutely fantastic news. Having said that, nobody seems to actually know for definite anything about PCP. Like, what do they want out of Newcastle? Like, I don't think we'll know that until the takeover goes over and Amanda Staveley or whoever it is comes out and says, this is what our plan is for Newcastle. This is what our vision is for Newcastle.
Yeah.
So for all we know, they could just be as bad as Ashley and just want to make some money out of it, keep it ticking along, keep it in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're obviously also like desperate to get rid of the poison that is Mike Ashley, that we're all just kind of desperate for this takeover to happen without really knowing like the facts about Staveley. I'm feeling positive about it due to the fact that, there are kind of rumours going around that Rafa's been heavily influential in setting up the deal. So if that's the case, if he trusts him, then I suppose we we can put our trust in him and hope that's the case. I mean, I think the takeover is required, because what it'll do is, I think it'll give a massive boost to the squad, to the staff, and to the fans. Obviously, I wasn't there last night, so I don't know what the atmosphere was like, kind of pre-kickoff, and obviously up until Everton scored. Was there a positive vibe going around the ground? Was it quiet? How did you interpret it last night?
It was positive, but then it's always reasonably positive in the corner to start with. I would say it was positive. It wasn't particularly loud last night. The crowd turned as soon as they scored. It was just like back to typical viciousness from some sections of the support, just getting on their back straight away. There was a bit more optimism around the place, I have to say. When we got there, you could tell people were more like optimistic possibly about Newcastle's future, but as soon as Everton scored, as I say, it was just the whole crowd turned, people getting on the players' backs. I mean, Diame was useless last night, but he came in for a lot of stick. People were cheering when he came off the pitch.
People were cheering when he came off the pitch. I mean, that's regardless of how he played, that leaves a little bit of a bad taste in the mouth. I mean, it's a bit difficult to really say much more on the takeover, because there are so many conflicting reports at the moment. And I think we're all just kind of sat here, like, living in hope a little bit. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, things would have changed in the next 24 hours, and we'll see where it's at. So we may as well move on to the performance last night. I mean, by all accounts, we started really brightly. Obviously, you had Richie hitting the post, and it looked like we were on top, and then they were kind of sitting back. How did you see the sort of first 20 minutes of the game? Were we as in control as it seemed?
Yeah, we started well. You know, we went for it. I mean, Richie's had a shot that's hit the bar. Marino's had a shot that's hit the bar. But we don't do a lot with the possession we have the majority of the time. So there was three or four occasions we'd get them right back onto the edge of their box with 11 men behind the ball, and we'd just pass it back, or like we'd pass it round the pitch to the other flank and then just give the ball away. We weren't like getting crosses in, trying to create chances. We were just keeping the ball in their half, moving it around, but not doing anything with it. So that was frustrating. I mean, once they were set up really, really well. Like, you could see the formation they were in at all stages through the game. Got credit Allardyce, as much as I hate to do it, for getting them so well organised in such a short period of time, because they were in absolute shambles weeks ago. And they defended well. I mean, they had two young kids playing at the back, I mean, Tyrus Browning and Jonjo Kenny, who were both pretty good. And we didn't get at Browning, and I think it was Browning.
It was Holgate, wasn't it? I think it was Mason Holgate.
Sorry?
Holgate, is it? Mason Holgate. I think Browning's on loan at Sunderland, isn't he?
Is he? Unfortunate bastard. we just didn't get at them enough. The two inexperienced defenders on the pitch, and we were just sort of running towards them and then turning back and passing it back to the halfway line, and it was just like, have a go at them. I thought for a long time we need to start Rolando Ahrens, because you know he's going to run at full-backs, you know he's going to try something, whereas Richie and Atsu, it was just a bit like, come on, one of you, just have a run at him, like, pretend you're in the schoolyard, I think someone shouted last night, just try and take him on, try and beat your man, and we never tried to do it. That was frustrating, and I mean, every time, I said before, he got cheered when he came off the pitch, and that was too far, but literally every time Diame got the ball, it was like, kick the ball out of play, give the ball away. It was a bit like watching, do you remember Emmanuel Eboué for Arsenal came on as a substitute against West Ham or something? He was on the pitch for about 15 minutes, just kept kicking the ball out of play, passing the ball to the opposition. That was Diame's performance last night. It was just like...
I mean, it's a tough one with Diame. I mean, I hate any player being booed just because they're not performing particularly well. If they're being lazy and not putting any effort in, then, you know, that's maybe a different matter. But I think with Diame, he's in and out the side sporadically. He's been kind of played in centre midfield. He's been playing the number 10 role. I think if, you know, if the money had been there in the summer, I think probably Diome would have been shifted on more than likely to another championship side. I was veering between, you know, possibly the world's most depressed looking stream last night and an online report and the radio. And the impression I picked up was is that he's, you know, you could say this about a few players, but his confidence was just, it's like the lack of confidence was visible. I don't know if that's what you picked up on. I mean, I'm talking like head down, just almost fearful when the ball was played into him.
Yeah, there's a lot of the players look like that. So I was, when I saw he was playing, and he's playing at number 10 and we're playing Gale, I was like, well, finally we've gone back to what worked in the Championship for us. I think this must be the first time that he started Diome and Gale in the positions that they played for us last season. So I was like, well, this could work. But as you say, he was just no confidence. And there was just, I think still a lot of players, it's like, it doesn't seem like we've got any leaders either that are like grabbing people and like pepping them up. You could tell the players looked visibly frustrated with Diome at times, because I mean he was stretching for balls and just, as I say, kicking the ball out of play into the opposition. It was grim to watch. And I think if there is investment in January, I think he's probably at the end of his Newcastle career now. I think he's got to go. I don't see any way back for him in the eyes of the fans. He's turned into a bit of a scapegoat. And I mean, getting cheered when you're coming off the pitch, although it's wrong and we shouldn't be doing it, like, it says a lot about where he's at in his Newcastle career. No one has any faith in him anymore.
Yeah, that's a real shame, because he was massively influential last season. And it's just a shame to see a player kind of lose his, I don't know, lose that confidence and kind of have to go through the motions, and it's just a little bit sad. But anyway, we'll move on from Big Mo. And what I picked up on in the first sort of 20-25 minutes was Richie seemed to be really going for it, and then he just kind of quieted down after that. Was he the most impactful player initially, and then was there a kind of an almost like an obvious change when we went a goal down in his performance?
Yeah, I mean he started the game really well. Everything was going through him. Second half, I can't remember him doing much, if I'm honest. He's sort of fizzled out. It's a shame, because he is the player that we look to get things going. It was the same last season. If we were struggling, you know, Richie was the one who would make something happen. But as you say, the all of them look just deprived of confidence, and they look frustrated as to what they're doing. Whatever the game plan was last night from Rafa, I'm sure we'll talk about this, I don't really understand what, if there was a game plan, what it was. Like, they just look frustrated that what they're trying isn't working. And I think they need to try, we definitely need to try something else. And it's hard with the limited resources of players that we've got to do that. But whatever it is we've been trying to do for the last eight games now since we last won, like, just isn't working. And the players obviously don't believe that what they're trying is going to work either now. And Richie's prime example of that, because he just stopped running around as much, stopped trying to make things happen, stopped trying to make those passes. It's just a shame.
It is interesting, because I mean I've advocated the return of Carl Darlow, because, you know, I've criticised Elliot for not coming off his line, and Darlow's come back in, and he's looked he's looked, unfortunately, every inch the Championship keeper. I've advocated partnering Marino and Shelby from the start, and I'd be interested to know what you have to say about those two last night. Was there any kind of dynamism offered from Shelby and Marino, or were they relatively quiet as well?
Yeah, it was quiet from both of them again. I've maintained for a while, and I said this in the pre-season pod about Shelby, is that even though he can be great on the ball, and he can find that Hollywood pass from time to time, he doesn't influence games enough. He doesn't chip in with enough assists, doesn't chip in with enough goals, and he doesn't work hard enough off the ball. He's just waiting for someone to give him the ball, sort of in the centre of the pitch. You don't see him sort of busting the gut, getting around the pitch, being like your typical box to box midfielder, a bit like, unfair to compare him, but like, it's like someone like Steven Gerrard, like or even, you know, Gareth Barry, Darren Fletcher, you can see them moving around the pitch, trying to get themselves in positions, whereas Shelby is just like a little canter over here, a little canter over there. Hopefully someone gives me the ball so I can try and pick out a worldly pass. And I don't think we're in a situation where we can afford to have someone who's not going to work.
I think the other thing with Shelby as well is obviously last night's sending off, my instinct is that that's going to burn any kind of bridges that may have already been like left between him and Rafa. I mean, this is a second sending off of the season. It's going to be an automatic 3-game ban, is that right? So he's going to be missing for Arsenal, West Ham and Brighton after that, I think. I think it's going to be tough for him to rebuild or regain any of Rafa's trust. What do you think? What do you think? And was the sending off completely justified in your eyes?
So I'm gonna have to be totally honest with you, Norm. I missed the sending off. I didn't realise till Mickey told us. Dealer in January, like he's gonna have to play a part because he's on his day. He's still our best centre midfielder because he does occasionally pick out that worldly pass that leads to something. So Rafa can't afford to write him off. I mean, it's not outside the realms of the possibility that like he might do, because he's done it to Colback, he's done it to Mitrovic, he did it to Tim Krull. So he's got previous of just writing players off, but we're not in a situation where he can do that with Shelby, and if he does, then it'd be just a colossal mistake on his part.
Agreed. I mean, I don't think he will, just because we are so low on numbers. I mean, the fact is that he was on a yellow card and it was a second yellow, so he deserved to go. And I think I saw someone on social media put, if you're going to do that, do it when we're 1-0 up and not 1-0 down. So you know, you think, well, that's a fair point. Obviously, we're going to go into the Arsenal match, and it's going to have to be, I guess, Marino and Hayden in the middle. How was Marino last night? I mean, the shot that hit the post was pretty ridiculous. But apart from that, did he have any kind of authority, any mark on the game?
Yeah, I mean, there's times when he picked up the ball and he'd be a man and he'd sort of look for a pass, but it just wasn't, the passes weren't on, people weren't making runs for him. Our movement overall last night was just really, really poor. It was just grim to watch at times because, as you say, people's heads were down, no one was making the runs that Marino needed, so inevitably he ended up giving the ball away quite a few times as well, but he still looks like a good player, and I think in a better side he looked like an even better player.
Yeah, we'll move on to the goal as well. Obviously that was a absolute clanger from Carl Darlow. How do you assess, the mistake, you know, in overall in terms of the result, it was catastrophic because it was the letter of the goal that won Everton the game. His performance overall, how do you rate it? And in the game against Arsenal, would you prefer to see Elliott in goal?
I'd persevere with Darlow because I think he's a better keeper than Elliott. You know, people make mistakes. I think I've not seen the goal back yet, but from where we were in the ground, it just looks like he's parried it straight back out. So he's parried it straight back out into the feet of Rooney. That's what it looked like from our end.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. I mean, it was soft because he could have got his hands on the ball. But like you say, I mean, mistakes happen. It's just that this one's obviously, unfortunately, had a massive impact on the game. But then, to be fair, you know, within half an hour, he did make an absolutely brilliant save to keep the score 1-0 and keep us in the game. I would still pursue Darlow.
Last season for large parts, and I mean, he's still relatively young for a goalkeeper, so these sort of things are going to happen. But you know, it's no secret that Rafa wants a new goalkeeper. He doesn't seem to like either of them, and that's probably fair enough. But for the time being, I'd persevere with Darlow. And if you're not going to persevere with Darlow, I don't know, is it time just to maybe give Freddie Woodman a shout? I mean, it's a big gamble, but he's obviously extremely highly rated. He's in and around the England under-21 setup, and I mean, you look at someone like Jordan Pickford in goal for Everton last night, and Sunderland just took a punt on him partly because they had to, and it worked out in the end. So maybe it's our turn to just give a young goalkeeper a chance.
I can see a point there. The only issue that I suppose I would have with that is that if you look at Everton, I mean, Sunderland got relegated. Pickford did incredibly well, but they got relegated because they had an absolutely shocking outfield side. But Everton, what they have, and you probably saw it last night, was they've got players on the pitch who've got a lot of Premier League experience, and you know, players in the late 20s. You know, players like Sigurdsson, who played loads of games, Rooney, Ashley Williams, and we're really lacking that at the moment. So I suppose my only concern, Woodman clearly has the ability because his performances for the England youth teams have been spectacular. The only concern I guess I would have is that he doesn't have anyone in front of him who is like a leader or really experienced. I mean, actually, the talking of leaders, Lascelles back last night was. Did he make a difference, do you think, in terms of, you know, you were talking about nobody kind of shouting around the pitch earlier on. What was Lascelles, could you see him being vocal? Was the back line more organised? Because I did look at a statistic before, and I think this season, I don't think there's been a game we've conceded two goals in whilst Lascelles has played. I don't know if you had any positive impact last night.
Yeah, I would say so. I think he's obviously, he's clearly the only one at times who tries to sort of organise anything. And defensively, we looked all right. So I don't really remember them, apart from the goal, troubling us too much. Although obviously, you know, they got their goal pretty early, and maybe it's classic Allardyce, just shut up shop and take your 1-0 victory away from home, and that's all good. So defensively, I think we looked fine. That's not really where the issue was for us. It was midfield and attack that we really struggled. So, and I really rate Lascelles. I think he's just a bit of an old-fashioned centre-back, isn't he? There's no messing about with him. He just wins the ball and gets rid. So it was good to see him back, and obviously he has to keep starting. I hope he doesn't do some classic Rafa rotation where he'll bring in Kieran Clark and mess around with it.
I can't see him dropping the cells now. I think one thing that's been obvious during the period that he was out was just how vital he is to the team. I mean, you look at the goals that we've shipped with him out to the side, and the reality is, despite Kieran Clark having the captaincy, and I know that he's captained Ireland before as well, I think that Lascelles is the only natural leader that we've got in the squad. So he's just, if I'm for me, he's an absolute pick. He has to be in the team every time he's available. And I suppose I'm going to move on to be central defensive partner, Lejeune. He's been a bit ropey lately. What did you make of him last night? Was he? You said the defence was solid. Was he pretty solid?
Yeah, I thought he was fine. As you say, he's had a few ropey performances of late, but this was definitely an improved bit. Arsenal will be a proper test, because, as I say, I don't think, apart from the goal, Everton didn't really test us too much. So difficult to judge. I think I don't think we'll see the best of Lejeune until probably next season. If I'm honest, because, you know, we've seen in the past with defenders who come in from abroad, it usually takes them about a year to adjust to life in the Premier League.
I agree completely. I mean, I've seen, obviously, there've been some negative comments again at social media, so you're looking at the percentage game, you know, it cannot be massively representative of the whole fan base, but I've seen quite a few criticisms of Lejeune, and he has been poor lately, but at the same time, like you say, it's his first season in a new league, and he has shown flashes of ability, so yeah, we may hopefully reap those benefits next season, and we'll still be in the Premier League, obviously. But I suppose
that's optimistic after last night's problem.
Well, you know what, I'm gonna remain optimistic, because, like, I mean, let's look at the, say, the Bournemouth, Leicester, and last night's games. To have 0 points from those three games, now, would you say that's kind of, you know, fair enough? That's what we've got 0 points because we've deserved 0 points? Do you think we've been that bad in those three games that we should have come away with nothing? Or do you think we just haven't had much luck? I mean, I'm talking fine margins. You know, you look at last night, we hit the woodwork twice. You look at the game against Leicester, you know, one up, and Schmeichel pulls off a great save from Murphy, 2-0. You look at a completely different game. I mean, there's the argument, no, you make your own luck, but I don't think that a 0 point return from those three games reflects how we particularly played. What would you say to that?
I think you make your own luck, and you get what you deserve in this league. I think you've got to take these chances inevitably, because teams will punish you, and the simple fact of the matter is we aren't at the moment. We're not picking up points, we're slipping closer and closer in the relegation zone, and I don't see where we're going to pick up points over the next few weeks. I mean, Arsenal, you'd say, is so unlikely we'll pick up anything there. We've got City at home, but we're probably not going to pick up anything. West Ham away, you'd say, who knows which West Ham side's going to turn up, that maybe there's a chance there, but we've really got to pick up 3 points against them, because that is already a relegation 6-pointer. And then Brighton at home, we've got to get something there. But after that, I think we've got another tough run of games coming up, and it's just difficult to see where we're going to pick up.
But Man City at home, and given the way they're playing at the moment, I mean, I can't see anyone getting a point off them. Stoke City away.
Keeping the score below 4-0 would be a success.
A moral victory, as they call it. Let's move on to Everton quickly. I hate Allardyce. I hate how the media treat him. I mean, himself, letting his mouth run. He's just not a particularly pleasant person. But I suppose last night, you know, that they didn't create much. They scored, they didn't create much. But ultimately, do you think that they were comfortable in that 1-0 win? And I mean, I suppose what I'm saying is that even if we managed to equalise, do you think that they could have kicked up another gear? Or did you just see a typical Allardyce side? They weren't even going to let us have that chance?
Who knows if we've got the equaliser? It could be a totally different game. But I said to Mick just before they scored, I was like, these guys are looking too comfortable on the ball here. It sort of felt like that they could step it up and just score when they felt like it. And that's what happened immediately after. They just played some really decent football up for the goal, and then that was it. And then, as I say, they it's typical Allardyce, isn't it? He can just shut up shop, he'll take his 1-0 win, and you know, off they go. I thought the way he had them set up, just watching them play, like every second pass they played was forwards, which was something that we just don't do. We knock it sideways, we sort of take it a little bit further forward and then go backwards, and it was sort of, you know, it was almost a masterclass by Allardyce of how you get a team out of trouble, the way they played. They were brilliantly organised. As I said at the start, you know, you could always see their formation on the pitch. It was so clear. I mean, when they didn't have the ball, they had five at the back. When they didn't, they were getting the wing-backs forward to attack. You know, it was really well organised. And you know, I hate Allardyce as well, but he's turned them round in a really short period of time.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to, and you know what, fair play to them for how they're doing at the moment, but what I will say is that, you know, we have to compare that squad that Allardyce has inherited compared to our squad. I mean, you know, they've got some real proven premiership talent in that squad, and I think, you know, you give us someone like Sigurdsson to put in the middle of the pitch, and I think you'd see a huge difference. Allardyce will inevitably keep them up, and you'd get all the plaudits again. But ultimately, that squad is, you know, that is at least a top 10 squad. So faint praise for Allardyce, but nah, I don't want to praise him. It had nothing to do with him. It was just out the Everton players. It's as simple as that. We'll move on then. Let's start thinking about this game against Arsenal this weekend. I mean, I hate predicting defeats, and I don't think I predicted one all season, so I'm not going to. I'm just not going to make a prediction. What would you like to see this weekend in terms of setup and lineup? Anything that you would change from last night? Any IE, anyone that you would bring in? Any kind of formation changes that you would anticipate or that you would like to see?
I think Diame has got to drop out. I'd probably go with Hosolu and Gale if he's going to stick with this 4-2-3-1 type system. I said I'd quite like to see Aaron start, maybe not this game because I think we're going to be under pressure a lot. So I'd stick with pretty much the team we played yesterday. I'd just get rid of Diame.
Yeah.
Maybe bring in Bemba in for Mankilo.
Interestingly, in Bemba, I don't think he was on the bench yesterday, yeah?
No, I don't think he was either. I still think he's our best defender.
I think he's a quality defender.
But Rafa just doesn't seem to fancy him for whatever reason. But I'd maybe bring him in for Mankiello just because we are going to be under a lot of pressure at the weekend. And
yeah,
he's a better defender.
I mean, and I suppose you'd imagine that that Hayden will come in for Shelby.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
It'll be his ex-club as well. It'll be his ex-club, you know what? And Hayden might go and bag a brace. I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens when you go to your ex-club. You got a point to prove. I reckon we'd say Hayden's going to get two. We'll win 2-1. Why not? Eh? I mean, I'm there. I'm planning. I'm just going to get absolutely blind drunk beforehand. So I might even just try and convince myself that we've won 2-1 beforehand. We'll see how that goes. Could always work.
Well, you know, we've always got a chance, but I think I'd be very surprised if we come away with anything. I'll predict a draw.
That'd be fantastic. I mean, I watched a bit of Arsenal last night against West Ham, and West Ham have really got the kind of wind up their tails at the moment. Obviously, they beat Chelsea at the weekend, and they were unlucky last night. Arsenal did their usual thing. They had an absolutely ridiculous amount of possession, but they didn't really offer much of a cutting edge, which is incredible given the talent that they've got. They played Giroud last night, but I think they'll bring Lacazette back, and I think I'd be happier with Lascelles and Iheanacho up against Giroud as I would against Lacazette. So I think that'll make it tough. But yeah, we'll just see how it goes. I mean, I suppose the most important thing is that we all know that the squad's got limitations, that it's thin in numbers. And Rafa can only work with what he has, and I think the most important thing is that it's just to keep backing the side and to stay positive. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, it probably won't make any difference at all, but at the same time, I've got to look at the, I suppose you got to look at the bigger picture and just think, well, with this squad of players, what else can we expect at the minute? You know, I don't know what your feelings are going forward.
So the squad has limitations, but there's also, I feel like there is possibly a good side in there. It just, what we're doing at the minute just isn't working, and I don't know, better than Rafa, maybe this is the way, you know, the only way he feels like we can play, but there's got to be more to this. There's got to be ways we can get more out of these players, and maybe, you know, sticking to such a rigid 4-2-3-1 isn't the solution. Maybe why don't we... Obviously, we can't do it now because Shelby's got himself into trouble again, but pack the midfield, play three central midfielders, so stick Hayden, Marino and Shelby and all in at the same time and just forget about playing this number 10 position that just isn't working for us this season. You know, it's got limits, but I know you'll say Everton's got more quality, but take Burnley, for example, they don't have more quality than us, but they're sitting fourth in the league or whatever it is at the minute. So there's got to be ways that we can get more out of the players we've got, because we must have better players than Burnley. I don't even know who half of their players are, but Sean Dyche has got them set up in a way where they're winning games. They're not doing it in particularly spectacular fashion most of the time, but they're winning games. We aren't. So I think there has to be a way that we can get our players to produce more.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, that's a good comparison with Burnley. I mean, again, I suppose the only thing I would offer in counter to that is that they do have, yeah, we might not have heard of the players, but they are players that have been together for quite a few years, and they do have that Premier League experience, and obviously they're on a massive roll in terms of confidence at the moment as well. I think that we just need to get that win and get the lift. The players need to have that lift, because I've said this for the past couple of games, and particularly after the Leicester match, that lack of confidence was palpable. You could see it in the players, you know. And I think at the minute, I mean, I suppose I would say Rafa's tearing his hair out. Obviously, that would be a bit difficult, but he's probably he's trying everything he can. And I think the big issue for me is that it's just that lack of confidence, that lack of self belief, because we haven't got that win in. So I'm just hopeful that once we do get a win, and we will get a win, that it's gonna make a massive change. Now the win might come against Arsenal. It may come against West Ham, it mightn't, but it will come, and hopefully it'll come in the next few weeks. And then if that money's made available in January, then you know what? It could change things completely. We could still come out the end of January with sort of 23 points, which would be, in my opinion, would be a good position to be in. But we shall see, mate. Are you going to Arsenal on Saturday?
No, I'm not going to Arsenal. Yeah. I'm saving all my London trips for next year.
Oh yeah, mate. There'll be plenty of those, because we'll still be in the Premier League. So you know, we'll have Palace, Arsenal, West Ham, all of those, and we'll see how it goes. So I think we can leave it there, mate. I don't know if you've got anything else you'd like to add before we stop.
No, I'm good.
Well, cheers, Andy, and
I'm feeling much more positive than I was when I first woke up this morning, Norman. So
exactly, that's the thing. If you record people's opinions directly after the match. If we've won, it's like we're the best team in the league, and if we've lost, like the whole world's coming crashing down. But 12 hours reflection, and things seem a lot better than they did. Thanks, Andy.
Right, no worries.
Before I go, I'd just like to put out another plug for the True Faith fanzine again. 60 pages of all things NUFC. Get yourself on it, get it downloaded and get it read. And I will speak to you all after the Arsenal game.